Well, good morning, everyone.
Right on. Well, I've been blessed already. I just have to say this, because as I've been watching, yeah, we watch each other during worship. I'm sorry to admit that. But I was looking around, and I'm seeing, this is a multicultural church. I haven't seen that in a while. Very often, we stick together in our little pockets. And if we had time, I'd say, you know, shout out the countries that you originated from. Thank you. I was going to ask if you had, wow. That is awesome. Praise the Lord. That to me is just a little taste of heaven, right? Because when we enter into heaven and into the presence of the Lord, we're going to see people from every tribe and tongue and every nation rejoicing before the Lord. So these gatherings just get me going. I get the goosebumps. So last week we were in Dallas. We had an international conference where our directors from 50 countries in the world where we're planting churches all came together. And again, I had that same sense of this urgency that heaven is near and that one day we will all together worship in his presence. And so E3 Partners, let me just give you a quick overview so that it frames it in, and then we're going to cut Charles loose to preach all the way from India here at KW Christian Fellowship. Okay, so E3 Partners, we stand for three E's, that we equip people, training, tools, and resources to do the work of evangelism and establish churches. So on this end, I am looking for people, laborers who are ready to go into the harvest field armed with their story, and the gospel, and a couple of other simple tools to go and preach the gospel message. And then on the other side of the world, Charles and other national directors like him are preparing their countries. And then we get together, we do the work of evangelism and establish churches. And by the grace of God, we've seen some 2.2 million people come to faith in Christ and establish 66,000 churches. But God's expanding our vision. Amen. Right on. And see, that took 25 years. And now we're tweaking up our thinking and our methodology and fine-tuning, and now we've got our sights set on 1 million churches in the next 8 years. Can we do it? Not on our own. We need God. We need God to infuse it and his Holy Spirit to infuse it. So, Charles, you're going to be talking about India, but India is some of the most unreached people groups on the planet, places where people in the villages have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ, and I want to be a part of sharing Christ with them. So we've got a team that's going to Uttar Pradesh, India in October. And so you'll see these little brochures at the back. So when you go to the back, if the Lord touches your heart in some way in this service and you want to go with Charles and I into the most unreached parts of the world, set aside some time in October. I'd love to serve with you. So Charles and Rohini are our directors in North India. And now they're responsible for the entire country. So their mission field is 1.2 billion people. And they're here to speak to 150 or so. So, Charles, why don't you come? And let's welcome Charles.
Good morning. And thank you, Jeremy, for introducing. And okay. So, I'd like to introduce my wife, Rohini. Rohini has been teacher for the last 25 years. She teaches English, and she corrects my English, you know. and I'm so grateful that she has joined, and we have two boys. One is 23, another one is 22, and both are in the college, and they live with us, okay? In our culture, we make our children live with us as long as they want, and we decide their marriage, you know. That's the culture, you know. The parents look for the boy, for the spouse, you know, and so that's so they both live with us, and they are in college. One is going to graduate in June in journalism and mass communication, and the second one is going to graduate next year and is going to be a lawyer, and so we are so happy for them, and so I bring greetings from my church, and we have a church, and I attend that church, but I'm fully involved with E3 Partners Ministry as a director for Northern India, and I'm so thankful for Pastor allowing us to come here and share the vision, what God has for India. And so today, I want to talk to you about 4 G's, you know. You know, many times you have seen on the advertisement, like, you know, that there is 3G generation, three generations, right? and the technology keeps on increasing and improving. And now it talks about 4G. Okay, and so we also, the Word of God, we need to talk about 4G. And so today, my four points are basically going to start with 4G. So first one is about, you know, great declaration. You know, Jesus gave us a great declaration. And he said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, you know, before that, you know, Jesus asked his disciples, what people say about me, about the Son of Man? And so, so the disciples said, well, they say that you are a prophet, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then he turns to his disciples, but what do you say about me? And so immediately we see there was one disciple who always would say something very drastically or radically, and that is Peter. So Simon Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus affirms it, and he says that, you know, this revelation has not come to you by anyone, but by my Father. And so Jesus says to Peter, you are Peter, and I will build my church on this rock. And on this rock, I will build my church. So today here we see that Jesus was saying that I will build my church. This is the great declaration that Jesus proclaimed. And he said to Peter, Peter, you are that rock, and I will build my church. So today, what is church means? You know, many times we see church means a building, but the Word of God says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 to 20, that Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
Amen? Yes. And so that is what it is. So Jesus is saying, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. There I am in your midst. And so that's what the church is all about. That I will build my church. So Jesus is saying, you know, it is him who is going to build. It's not we. You know, he said, I will. In the sense, he's saying, it's not maybe, may or sometimes. No, he's saying, I will. You know, in the English language, the will, word will has a very strong affirmation. That means he has decided, he has purposed it, that I will build my church. He will build his church. It's not me. It's not some pastor. It's not some apostle. But what said Jesus said, I will build my church. So Jesus is building, you know. He created this whole creation in 6 days and everything in it. But it takes time for God, for Jesus to build his church. That's why he used the word build, not create out of nothing. He has already created everything. But to build a body of people, he said he will build. So that's why Jesus said, I will build my church. Okay? So this is the great declaration Jesus made. And so that's what we, E3 Partners, is involved in. You know, not only evangelism, but to plant churches, plant house churches all around the world, and plant churches among the new believers. Among the new believers. And put that DNA of multiplication in them. Because we see when God created this whole creation, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, we see Jesus, God said that everything what he did was good, but then when he created man and woman, he said it was very good. And then he said, be blessed and multiply and replenish the whole earth. So you see here, God said, be multiplied, be blessed. And so that's what we want, that the church be multiplied everywhere. We want church to be established in places where people can just walk in a walkable distance, where churches can be built at a walkable distance. And so that's why Jesus said, I will build my... This is the great declaration that Jesus made. And he says that, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not overcome it. Or the gates of Hades shall not overcome it. And so Jesus says that, you know, that the church is outside and Satan's fort is closed and he has put all his people imprisoned in that fort. And so the church is outside, and so that is what the picture is given here. You know, that Jesus, when he said, Peter, you are the rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overcome. And so, that's why the church is outside, and the people are imprisoned in this fort, in this big fort, and all we have to do is, through prayer, we need to go by force and get those people away, out of that fort. And so that's what Jesus said, that we need to go by force. Yeah, we need to go into the gates of hell and bring those people outside, out of that fort. And so that's why Jesus said that, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail, shall not overcome it. And so this is the great declaration. The first declaration, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not overcome. Second, G stands for great conclusion. You know, great conclusion. You know, in Matthew chapter 24, we see that Jesus was with his disciples. And as he was with his disciples and they were walking by, and the disciples commented to Jesus, see this beautiful building, these beautiful stones. And they looked at the Jerusalem temple and they were describing how beautiful, how majestic it was. And right then Jesus said, you know, one day these stones will be pulled out. This will be destroyed. And right then we see that Jesus was speaking to his disciples when they asked this question, when will this be? What are the signs of your coming? And then he goes by all over about what are the end times, what are the signs of the end times. And then at the end, in verse 14, Jesus says to his disciples, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, and then the end shall come. Right in the middle of this 24th chapter, in this 14th verse, Jesus is saying that this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed or shall be preached among all nations, and then the end shall come. So here we see here that Jesus' conclusion of this world is that people need to listen to the gospel. They need to hear the gospel and come to faith. They need to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's why we see that here Jesus is saying that the conclusion will happen. The end will come when people of all nations, when the word nation in Greek means, as you know, it means ethnic, ethno, ethnos. And here it means that every people groups who have not heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in this world, there are more than 3,000 unreached, unengaged people groups are there who have not heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so out of that, there's about 2,325 unreached, unengaged people groups who live in India. As Jeremy said, there is 1.2 billion population. And within maybe at least 10 to 15 years, it will outpass China. At least now India is second next to China, and so in population. And so now we see that one day it's going to outrun China in population wise. And so now is the time to go and preach the gospel. And that's why E3 Partners is interested in equipping nationals and so that they could carry the vision. They could run with the vision that they should go and look out for, identify those unreached, unengaged people groups who are living in different parts of India and start sharing the gospel and plant churches. And so that's why we see that Jesus saying that this gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed or shall be preached among all nations as a testimony, and then the end shall come. And so Jesus wants us that this gospel should be preached. And so that's why we are asking the North Americans to come. If God has called you, you need to come. You know, there are three kinds of people who come to church. You know, as I was at one of the churches in Texas this last month, and they had shown a small video clip on the screen about John Piper, and he was saying that there are three kinds of people who come to church. There's one who are goers, and there are one who are givers, and the third are the disobedient. So we don't want to be on the third kind of people, you know. We want to be ones who go, those who want to give. And so God wants us that we need to go and share the gospel. And so here, so first we see that the great declaration is that Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not overcome it. And then in the great conclusion, Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations as a testimony, and then the end shall come. So there are many, many unreached, unengaged people groups with a population of over 100,000 where there is no church among these people groups. And so it is our responsibility to go and share the gospel at least one time. At least one time. It doesn't matter whether they will reject you or accept you, but it is our responsibility to go and share the gospel to these people groups. The third G is Great Commission. You know, we all know this Great Commission is mentioned in all the four gospels in the New Testament. But I'm going to focus on Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. We see here that Jesus, he appeared to his disciples during those 40 days after his resurrection. And in verse 16, we see when the disciples saw Jesus, they worshipped him. And they looked at him. And at the same time, they had some doubts whether he is the same Jesus who was resurrected, who rose up from the dead. And then we see Jesus saying in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28, he says, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. And there he says, therefore, you know, therefore, that word therefore is a conjunction, means it is there for something, for some reason. And then he says, go and make disciples of all nations. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Not some nations, but all nations. And baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, and teaching them to obey all that I have taught you. So today what I'm preaching is nothing new. You must have heard much more good sermons than I'm preaching. But, you know, we need to remind ourselves. Many times, you know, we need to remind ourselves. And we should not shut our minds on these small, small things, the commands that Jesus has given us, that the Word of God has given us. You know, that's why Peter says, I want to remind you. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about, And that's why I come here to remind ourselves, you know, that this great commission has been given to us. That we need to go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have taught you. It's not just teaching, but also we need to teach them to obey. Just like that Samaritan woman, she immediately went and shared the gospel. She didn't have to go to any Bible training or to go to any confirmation class or anything, but what she did, she immediately obeyed. It says in John chapter 4, verse 28, she left her water pot, the jar, and she went to her people. She went to her people and brought them to Jesus. In verse 28, it says that she told before Jesus and all these people, she says, "Come and see this man who knows everything about me. Is he not the Christ?" So here we see, she immediately obeyed and shared her testimony. And the same way, the Great Commission tells us that we need to go and tell. We need to go and tell. And so we have a story. Every one of us have a story. In E3, we have many, many tools to share the gospel. You know, there's a creation to Christ story. There's the I Am Second, which Jeremy mentioned. You know, it's starting a small groups in your own areas. Then we have the Evangel Cube, which Jeremy is going to share about you. And you know, even I carry this small Evangel Cube. You know, many people, we carry mobiles and all, but I also carry this thing, small cube. You know, through this, you can share the stories. You know, while I was, I lived in USA, in San Diego. For more than 10 years. During that time, I always used to want to get involved in some kind of ministry. I just don't want to sit in the church Sunday after Sunday and, you know, do nothing. You know, the good messages are there, but how can I improve? How can I increase? How can I be part of some ministry? So I prayed about it, and I shared with some of my friends, and so I had an opportunity to go as a volunteer for Marine Corps in Rosecrans, San Diego. And, you know, and every Sunday, we would minister to more than 500 young people who have been stripped of their long hair and, you know, everything. And here they have come for 12 weeks of boot camp as Marines. And those 12 weeks, we would come on Sundays and counsel with them, pray with them, lead them to the Lord. And some Sundays I would go to county jails and preach the gospel to those inmates. So getting involved and sharing the gospel through this cube, through the cube. So when God led me to go to India back, you know, I prayed, "Lord, what should I say myself? Should I say that I'm a pastor, or should I say that I'm a missionary? If I say I'm a pastor, many times, you know, they shut their mind. If I say I'm a missionary, I have come here to convert people." So I prayed, and the Holy Spirit gave me this word: "Say that you are a storyteller." And so I just wanted to really test whether I really listened to the Holy Spirit. And so one day while I was traveling in a train, and there was a man who was sitting right across me, and early morning, you know, around 9 o'clock, this happened about 2005 in the month of October, and so, and I had this cube with me. So you know, usually when two men meet, you know, what will they ask first thing? "What do you do?" "Yes, that's right. What do you do?" And they said, you know, I said, "This is the time for me to, you know, test whether I really heard from the Lord or not." And so I said, "I am a storyteller." He was amazed. "What is this storyteller?" He didn't know what is this storytelling means. And he never heard this word. And so I did not give him any, I did not elaborate my answer. I, 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 I let him think about it and think about it, and he was puzzled, and he didn't know what to say. And then I gave him this cube in his hand. You know? So he started playing with it, and he didn't know how to open it, and he was finding it difficult. And then after a few minutes, he said, "I think you write stories for Bollywood. You know Bollywood?" So he said that, "Oh, you write stories for Bollywood." I said, "No, I'm not a story writer for any Bollywood movies." I said, "I have a story to tell." And immediately I took that cube from him and I started sharing the story through this cube. And so, you know, God led that man to me, and before I could get down at Delhi station, I shared the story, led him to the Lord, and immediately before we could depart from one another, I took his name, his address, his phone contact, everything, and brought a Bible from the Bible Society of India and mailed it to him. And so this man became my spokesperson. He would go to some churches in his area and he would say, "Invite Charles for this Evangel Cube training." So many times, you know, I carry this in with me so that people ask me, I can share the story. Not only that, just recently my wife and I, we were in Nebraska. And this church have adopted one of the states called Assam in the Northeast India. And so they asked us to share about missions in India, just like here. And so, as we finished all our sharing and everything, and it came to an end. And so this lady by the name of Christy, she came and approached my wife, Rohini, and she said, "You know, I want you to share this story to this Chinese couple." And so this Chinese couple, now her husband, his name is Glenn. Well, you know, Glenn means it's an English name. He must be having some other name, Chinese name. But he calls himself as Glenn. And his wife is a Chinese, and they speak Mandarin, but his wife is speaks English. And so at that point, I want Rohini to come and share about the story, how it happened, you know. And it'll be good. Thank you. So it was such a worthwhile trip for us to come all the way from India to North America to share the gospel to this couple. And Glenn came to know the Lord. So you never know how God uses, you know. And so the last point that I would like to share is that there's a great promise God has given us. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said, after he did said the great, he said, you know, "Go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey all that I have taught you." Then at the end, he said, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen? So Jesus says, "I am with you." That is the great promise, that he is with us. Besides that, he said, "I am going to send you the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit." And so he kept his promise. He kept his promise in Acts chapter 1:8. Jesus said that when the disciples asked, "When will your coming be?" And he said, when you shall receive the power on high, the power of the Holy Spirit, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's the big vision God has. And he has empowered us. And he has empowered us with this promise that he will give us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is with us. You know, I can share so many stories how God delivered us from such oppositions and so many problems and obstacles. But God got all the victory. Hallelujah. And so that's what it is. You know, so great. Jesus gave us the great declaration. "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not overcome." He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, and then the end shall come. And then he said, this great commission he gave us, he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them and teach them." And finally, he gave the great promise. He said, "Lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We bless you, Lord, for all that you have taught us from your word. Lord, whatever I have taught today is nothing new, Lord, but it's a reminder for all of us as believers, Lord, that you have given us the great declaration, the great conclusion, the great commission, and the great promise that you are always with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
So thank you, Charles, for sharing here this morning. Now, he's cast this vision. Now, imagine this. Okay, you've got a church with 23 nations, all right? Well, praise the Lord for what you've been able to grow and build here over, what, 40 years of ministry, I understand? Okay? And so now we want to challenge the church. We want to dream about an evangelism strategy. And imagine this. What if you started reaching people that you know from your country that immigrated here? And what if you, who've been growing up in Canada, obviously you know some people here, right? You got friends. But what if each of us found five people that we know from our background or our family or our networks or our workplaces? And what if we dared to go out this week and try to share the gospel as simply as we can with, say, five people, and then see what happens? And what if we don't invite them to our church? Okay, Pastor, trust me here. What if we invite them to our home and we have a meal with them and love on them and care for them and pray for the issues in their lives and then eventually share those stories right in our homes? And if then they're comfortable in that place and they come to Christ, where are you going to lead them? You're going to lead them to your own church, and your church is going to grow and multiply and expand. And so that's some of our vision. Can you tell we have a deep love for the church?
Amen.
The church is it positioned right now in human history, unlike maybe any other time other than when Jesus was on the earth, to advance rapidly in the world. Okay? So we talked about this cube. Now, you might be a little confused. We're out of time this morning, so I can't demonstrate it now, but we're going to take a moment. Okay. Oh, I like this, Pastor. Can you? Oh, this is my wife saying, really fast, brother. All right. Can you hold the cube because I'm handheld here?
Okay.
And that thing is really big. All right. So this is the EvangiCube. It's just a simple tool and a script to help you share the gospel. Okay. And so on the left side, you see a light, and that light represents God. Now, this is the Reader's Digest version, so buckle in. All right. So there's a light, and that light represents God, and he's perfect and pure, and he created all things. He's in heaven. All right. And he created heaven for all of his children. Now, on the right-hand side, you see a figure of a human being. Thank you, Vanna. Did I say that? No, okay. You see a figure of a person that represents every man, woman, and child in the earth. And around them is darkness, and that darkness represents sin. Okay, sin is anything I think, anything I say or do, which makes God sad or displeases him. That's sin. Okay, now sin separates us from God. See, there cannot be any sin in the heaven, but yet there's sin in us. So what are we going to do? And so we have a conversation with our friends and ask, what are we going to do? And when they come up and say, I have no clue what I'm going to do, I do have the sin problem. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, let me tell you, God made a way through his son, Jesus. Jesus came into the world. He died on the cross for your sin, to the next panel there. He died on the cross for your sin. Why? Because he wants to forgive you of your sins. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, now he really died. He was buried in the ground. They placed soldiers even to guard the tombs. Nobody could steal the body. But yet 3 days later, God breathed on his son. He rose from the dead. Next one, he rose up from the dead. And that is what makes the way for us to be with God the Father in heaven. Next panel. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father in heaven except through through me. It's through Jesus. And when people discover this for the first time, they see, I do have sin, but there is a solution, and it's through Jesus Christ. Things start lighting up in them spiritually. Their life starts to ignite, okay? And so we need to invite people into a relationship with Jesus, and we are so afraid to do so in Canada. It's hard, isn't it? Who would say, by show of hands, who would say it's hard to do evangelism? All right. Okay? So we need to become intentional and put tools in our path so that we can share with others. So we tell people the wages of sin is death. We're already condemned in our sin, but brother, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. He wants to have a relationship with you. Would you like to put your trust in Jesus right now? And all you're doing is creating a starting point for faith. And many people will, in fact, say, yes, I would like to trust Jesus. I want that eternal life. But so many of them have never been asked, never invited. Okay? And so if they want to, we would pray a prayer right there and for them to admit their sinners and believe in Jesus, confess their sins to him, and they will become believers right away. And then finally, the last panel, if they become believers, yes, there's one more side. And we start talking about the basics of discipleship is prayer, reading the scriptures, okay, partnering with other believers, networking into a local church or even starting house churches. And then fourthly, this message didn't come just for you. This is for everyone. Who do you know? Name your five people that you know that do not know the gospel yet, and then share with them. And so that's my challenge I leave with you. How many people have the heart and the daringness to go out this week and attempt to be bold for Christ and share with even five people? All right, a couple of you, right on. Well, the rest of you, pray on that, consider it, and may God do some incredible things this week. All right, if you get a chance, meet us at the back, grab an I Am Second card. I Am Second is the high-tech version of this. Video testimonies on a website that exploded, 27 million views in the last 4 years, accessed in 204 countries in the world. And so you're going to want to watch those videos and post them to Facebook and share them with your friends. That's all we've got for this morning. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Bless you.
Well, this has been really good this morning and a real challenge to us, and a number of things are converging. I really mean this, and it's converging for us to share the gospel more intentionally than we ever have before. Yesterday, I was at a Billy Graham meeting, and they are launching an initiative to get people to talk to their friends and being part. I want to connect more with Jeremy and E3 and this kind of endeavor. Starting next week, we're going to do a three-part series called I Am a Witness. We're going to talk next week about talking it, the next week walking it, and the third week, don't balk it. And it's going to be an exciting time. We're going to allow the Lord to speak to us. The days are converging towards the end, and I believe the Lord is bringing this to our attention as never before, because I didn't plan the series. I didn't plan to have Jeremy here at this particular time with our guests from India. And I didn't know the Billy Graham organization is doing this major thrust. But God is doing something, and I believe he's positioning us and prompting us and going to equip us that we can be greater witnesses than ever before. And I thank you for the challenge, Brother Charles, about being more intentional about sharing our faith. A lot of us don't know how to do it. And we're reluctant. We want to, but we don't know how. We're going to talk about this over the next 3 weeks, and we're going to really let the Lord speak to our hearts. So I'm excited about what God's going to do.